from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, in our first half hour, we'll discuss a new report released by the Public Policy Institute of California on enterprise zones, which were set up in 1986 as catalysts for businesses in economically distressed areas and were designed to create job opportunities. The report is mixed but not too positive on job creation, but it makes recommendations for greater enterprise zone effectiveness. And in the second half hour, we're going to shift to a discussion of the new compost rules recently approved in San Francisco, which are set to go into effect in 90 days. Forum is next with your calls and emails after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum. In 1986, California Enterprise Zones, representing the largest economic development program in California, were set up in 42 different zones throughout the state, offering tax credits and other incentives to businesses. They were designed as a catalyst for businesses in economically distressed areas and to create job opportunities for economically disadvantaged workers. A new report released by the Public Policy Institute of California concludes, among other things, that, quote, on the average, enterprise zones have no effect on business creation or job growth, end of quote. The report also makes recommendations to make enterprise zones more effective. And supporters of enterprise zones argue that job creation is only one of the benefits of the program and that the program on the whole is working. This opening forum hour, we focus on the PPIC report and on enterprise zones. And joining us from our Sacramento studio is Jed Kolko, economist and associate director of research for the Public Policy Institute of California. We welcome you. Good morning.
Thanks very much.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Craig Johnson, who's president of the California Association of Enterprise Zones and manager of the Long Beach, California Enterprise Zone. And welcome, Craig Johnson.
Thank you, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here. Jed Kolko, let me begin with you and just get a sense of what the report has to say. Now, for the listeners' benefit, the goals, at least, of establishing enterprise zones were to attract, well, not only businesses, but to improve welfare by lowering poverty and take unemployment and raise incomes and all of that. And really, the report says it's just not doing what it was supposed to be doing, didn't it?
So the enterprise zone program today has multiple goals. And the reason for that is the Enterprise Zone program actually came from two earlier programs that got blended together. So there is some discussion over what the goals of the program are. But when we talked to the local administrators of the program and when we looked at what the goals of the program and the intent seems to be, it was clear to us that the primary focus of the program and the way that the tax credits are set up to work suggests that job creation and business growth are really the primary goal of the program. What we did is we very painstakingly took a database including all of the businesses located in California over a 15-year period, and we figured out for each business in each year whether that business was located inside or outside an enterprise zone. By looking at what happened to employment inside enterprise zones relative to very carefully constructed comparison areas, we concluded that the growth of jobs and businesses in enterprise zones was not different from the growth of jobs or businesses in these carefully constructed comparison areas.
Didn't it differ across zones, though? There was more job creation in zones with smaller employment shares in manufacturing and where there was more marketing and more promotion, more outreach.
Yes, and that's why the conclusions of a report aren't a simple story. Overall, we found that there was no overall average effect on job growth when we look across all the zones. But we did find that it appears that there are some factors that may contribute to the enterprise zone program being more effective in some types of zones than others. Zones, for instance, as you mentioned, had smaller shares of their employment in manufacturing, or zones where the local administrators told us they put more effort into marketing and outreach of the zone program to their local businesses seem to have a more positive employment effect than other zones do.
But on the whole, the report seems to be suggesting that the enterprise zones are not bringing about job creation in the way that certainly might have been hoped for or might have been expected or anticipated. And you make recommendations to, well, have it do the job, or have them do the job? What are those?
So we think there's room, given that there appear to be factors that could contribute to positive employment growth in some zones, to look at both the implementation of the program, the selection of zones, and how zone performance is evaluated, to try to steer the program toward those types of zones where we think the program is likely to be more effective.
And Craig Johnson, you see some problems with this report in terms of maybe too much emphasis on job development or perhaps not taking into account all the good that's being done in enterprise zones?
Well, it's not so much just the good that's being done in the program, which is there's great good being done in the program, but it is a very narrowly focused study. And we can, there have been a number of studies produced over the last 3 years that come to very opposite conclusions. And looking at when you start factoring different methodologies and where you're looking at and evaluating areas around enterprise zones as compared to enterprise zones, we find that oftentimes we see the poverty levels do decrease in zones more than the rest of California, the parts that aren't in zones. He says that unemployment rates are lower in zones as compared to outside zones. We see that household incomes grow faster in zones than outside zones. Wages and salary levels increase inside zones, not outside zones. So, we can do the whole dueling studies thing all day long. I've been in this business now for 10 years, and I don't think a year has gone by where there hasn't been a study critical of the program, how it's administered, it doesn't meet the stated goals or objectives that were set out by the legislature, or things to that nature. I contend, based on other studies, but also by my own empirical evidence of working in this program for a decade, working with 42 enterprise zones and enterprise zone managers across the state, from Eureka in the north to Calexico on the Mexico border and parts in between, this program is a great success and has great value to California and has tremendous return on what is a minimal investment.
What about the main criticisms, though, that, this is a kind of form of corporate welfare? You don't hear this necessarily from the PPIC report, but you do hear it about enterprise zones, and that tax growth is incentivized, but that you're not getting the job creation bang for the buck.
Well, and I think it does depend on who you talk to and which businesses you're talking with and which zones you're talking to. Because I hear this a lot about corporate welfare, and I hear a lot of banging on tables from members of the legislature and members of former administrations that say, what are we doing giving benefits to, these large corporations? And, what about the little guy and so forth? Well, the fact of the matter is that this program benefits not only the large corporations, who are, by the way, major employers, in the state of California, but also the little guys. I mean, I've got great, employers here in Long Beach, from Boeing, a major manufacturer, a multinational corporation, to my local 7-Eleven, to a wonderful company here in town called Red Barn Pet Products, to the 4th Street Deli, to Arnold's Family Restaurant. I mean, the list goes on and on, and this is true all over the state. Now, I would challenge anyone to walk into one of those businesses and say, this program's nothing but corporate welfare. No, it's not. It's providing them a leg up in a tough community to get folks employed, to get business moving, and to grow a micro economy, because that's what this program is about. It's about helping those communities that are in distress, keeping people employed, which this report doesn't talk about. Job retention is a huge issue that's never addressed. Not just job creation. So there are a lot of factors involved. And like I said, there's lots of competing studies. But the folks with boots on the ground who do this all the time can give you lots of examples, real life stories of success.
Let me go back to Jed Kolko on this. There are those who argue, and certainly Craig Johnson would be one of them, that this is an important tool for economic development because it focuses on local governments and it helps communities. And I wonder if you're in agreement with that, but also if you'd address what he said was left out of this report, job retention.
So I think there are two important details about the study to mention. The first one is that we looked at overall changes in employment. We looked to see what happened to employment in zones compared to other comparison areas. And those changes could come about either due to jobs being created, jobs being lost, businesses opening, and businesses closing. So any way that employment in a business located in an enterprise zone might change due to creation, jobs that were retained and therefore not lost, all of those reasons are all incorporated in our measure of what happened to employment. So those factors, those outcomes are actually all included in what we looked at. I think the bigger point, though, which Craig, as Craig mentioned, is that there have been many studies about what the effect of the Enterprise Zone program in California and Enterprise Zone programs in other places have been. They do regularly come out, but it's not true that all studies are the same. And we can't just say some studies find some things, others find other things, therefore we can't be sure. Our study did something very different from all other studies that have been done on the California Enterprise Zone program. What we did is we painstakingly figured out exactly the boundaries of every zone, figured out which businesses were inside and outside, and could be sure that we were comparing businesses in the zones with those out of the zones. All of the other studies that have been done in the past have not been precise, and what they've done is they've used approximations for where the zones were. And without getting into too much methodological detail, that's kind of like testing the effects of a drug when you want to have separate groups, some people who've been given the drug and some people who haven't, but a bunch of people end up getting put in the wrong category. And so you're mixing up the effect on mostly people who got the drug, but some people who didn't, with mostly people who didn't get the drug and some people who did.
Could you filter out job retention in this?
All of that's included in our measure of employment. When we look at overall employment change, that takes into account jobs that were created, jobs that were retained and therefore not lost. So if the Enterprise Zone program's effect had been to help businesses inside zones retain jobs better than businesses that weren't in zones, we would have seen employment outside of zones go down in employment relative to businesses in zones employment, but that's not what we found. We found no change, no difference in what happened to employment inside zones and employment outside zones.
Again, Jeb Kolko is an economist and he's Associate Director of Research for the Public Policy Institute of California. If you'd like to join us, by the way, you can now. And in fact, I would urge you to do so now because we're focusing on this for the first half hour of this forum opening hour, and then in the second half hour, we're shifting gears and talking about composting. You can join us now, and I invite you to do that if you have questions or comments about California's enterprise zones and their success or lack of success. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Again, that toll-free number is available to you right now. It's 866-733-6786, and we're talking about the Public Policy Institute of California report on California's enterprise zones. You can also send us an email, and our email address is simply forum@kqed.org. And Craig Johnson's also with us, president of California Association of Enterprise Zones. And what we're hearing from Jed Kolko about this report, Craig Johnson, it's painstaking, it's precise, and it's really a new study that to some extent may indeed trump the other studies.
Well, it's a new study, absolutely. But I will go back, and I think in order to be accurate, you need to examine the economic impact of the program based on employment, wage levels, business retention, return to owners. I think they all have to be examined, and that's the shortcoming of this report. Let me tell you a little story, though, because, again, we can do dueling reports all morning. And I think what's important about this program is that it's not about a program. It's about people. It's about entrepreneurs. It's about business people with vision, taking risk. And there's lots of stories of success because and due to this program. And I just want to really quickly tell you a quick little story about here in Long Beach, because that's where I work. And I've got a company here called Red Barn Pet Products, started 12 years ago by two guys with an idea. Today, located in the enterprise zone, this idea has grown into a manufacturing business. It employs about 120, 130 people within the boundaries of the enterprise zone. But for the enterprise zone, this business would have left Long Beach and California years ago. But for this program, Raquel, a Latina woman here from Long Beach with a high school education, who was hired 5 years ago at $6.50 an hour as a bone cleaner, she now, 5 years later, her income has increased 260%. She's a production manager supervising 100 employees and a valued member of the management staff of this company.
You think you find these kinds of stories throughout the enterprise zones in California, or is it
this is in the micro, This happens all over the state. Another thing about employment numbers and about jobs. I prefer not to throw out a lot of statistics, but I've got a couple and I'll use them. One is, the San Diego Regional Enterprise Zone, which includes the cities of Chula Vista, National City, parts of the city of San Diego. In that enterprise zone, in last year, in 2008, we saw employment and new positions, okay, jobs created. It varied by jurisdiction, but it ranged anywhere from about 16.5% to over 36% of the jobs in that zone were new jobs and created because of this program.
All right. Please finish your thought.
Anyway, the thought being is that, I understand the painstaking efforts that these folks went through to do this study, but I know the reality of this program, and it's not about data, it's not about statistics, it's about people. And if you walk into any of these businesses and you either talk to the business owner, who will tell you without reservation, if it wasn't for this program, they wouldn't be where they are today, they would have left California, because let's not forget, especially in today's economy, and there have been numerous articles in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere about our neighboring states and other states around this country are aggressively wooing California companies and throwing a lot of incentives at them. This is it for the state of California. This is the business incentive program that we have, and it is a success, and it does keep business here in California. And if we effectively eliminate this program or drastically cut it back, it's going to be the old line about the last person out of California, turn off the lights.
All right. We'll
have that kind of consequences in California.
Let me bring our callers into this because
we've
just got a half hour here. And Ari, go ahead. You're on the air.
Real quick question about context here. The state is in a budget crisis, and we are needing to assess the cost benefit of all these types of programs. What type of tax revenue are we forfeiting by these enterprise zones, and what would be the upside to California's bottom line? I'll take the call offline.
All right, thank you for the call. Jed Colco, you can give us those figures probably, can't you?
Yeah, the Franchise Tax Board a few months ago recently estimated for the next fiscal year the amount of foregone revenue from the Enterprise Zone program would be just shy of about $500 million. That's half $1 billion. And I think this point about what the cost benefit is brings a larger question on how do we really evaluate what the effectiveness of a program is. Success stories are not the same thing as assessing what the effect of a program is. When we test a new drug, we do not rely only on patient testimonials for the patients who tell us that they got better because of a drug, nor do we rely on testimonials from their doctors.
You think it's anecdotal?
Some patients.
In other words,
right.
Yeah.
When we want to understand what the effect of a drug is, we get a control group, we get the treatment group, we measure very, very carefully in a balanced way. We talk to those who got the effect and those who didn't, and we see the difference. That's the way to measure a program, especially a program that is involves significant cost to the state.
That's
what we did.
Sasha on next as our from Clear Lake. Good morning, Sasha.
Good morning. My question is sort of context, and it may have been answered because I became in a little late on the broadcast. My question is, without the designation and the benefits of being an enterprise zone, would these zones have performed far worse. My understanding of enterprise zones is that these are very economically disadvantaged areas that would perform quite poorly, and would they, without the program, have performed worse than the comparison areas that this study defined? And would then their performance being equal to those areas be a success story?
Let's hear first from Jed Colco on this, then we'll go to Craig Johnson. Go ahead, Jed Colco.
Well, that's exactly what this sort of research is designed to answer. What we would really like to understand is what would have happened differently in these areas had the program not existed. Now, of course, we don't see what these areas would have looked like in the absence of the program because these areas had the program. But what we do is we look for the closest comparison groups we can find. And this is something that is done in our study and in all of the other studies that have been done on this sort of program. And we look to see what the difference is. And by finding no effect on employment, the conclusion is that these areas would have fared no differently on average in terms of their employment without the program. Now, the question of what effect would there have been on poverty and unemployment, first of all, it's important to use the same sort of rigorous methodology that we've done and others have recommended. But it's also important to understand that if the program is to have an effect on unemployment, if it's to reduce unemployment, the obvious way that could happen is by employment increasing due to the Enterprise Zone program. So it's very hard to see how poverty could go down or unemployment could go down in the absence of any employment growth due to the program.
Craig Johnson.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, and I'll repeat something I mentioned earlier, with previous studies that have been released that go to this, your caller's point, would these areas be worse off had they not been enterprise zones? And the answer is a resounding yes, because we have seen studies that show that, again, poverty decreases within enterprise zones compared to those outside the zone. Unemployment rates are lower inside the zone than outside the zone. Household incomes grow faster in zones as opposed to outside zones, and wages and salary levels grow faster inside zones as opposed to outside zones. The other thing I want to address is this comment about an FTB figure of $500 million. That's in stark contrast to a figure used by the LAO's office, the Legislative Analyst's Office, which is $100 million. Depends on who you talk to and whose figures you want to use. There, of course, there is a cost to the Treasury. That cost to the Treasury is more than made up by the fact that you have growing business concerns who employ people who are taxpayers, people like Raquel at Red Barn Pet Products, who started at the bottom end of the economic ladder, has now grown significantly. So I really get agitated with this dismissal of anecdotal evidence, because the bottom line is it's real. It happens, and people do have jobs, and they do progress, and they become taxpayers, which contributes back to the state treasury,
well,
I think, more than what over the course of the years that you'll see, as opposed to the amount of money that goes directly into in any given budget year.
Excuse me, Craig. We've got a caller on the line here who actually worked in Enterprise Zone. I want to get him on while we have a couple minutes here. Ed, go ahead.
Yes. Well, thanks for taking the call. I worked in a finance department of a small food processing company in an Enterprise Zone, and the it was a private company. The owners found out about the tax credit from another local business, and so went through the whole exercise of going back several years to see if the tax credit, would be applicable. And the owners got a tremendous tax reduction of their state taxes because of that. But in order to do that, you had to go back and talk to existing employees in private, because you had to ask questions that you couldn't ask if you were going to hire them, in order to determine if the tax credit worked. But it was difficult to see how that would affect any future decisions of the business in terms of operating in such a way, as to grow.
Well, Ed, you've got the final word there, because we have come to the end of the half hour. I know people will be interested in reading the report. Judd Kolko, can they get it online?
You bet, at our website, ppic.org.
ppic.org. I thank you, Judd Kolko, for being with us. And again, Judd Kolko is an economist and associate director of research for PPIC, the Public Policy Institute of California. Thanks to Craig Johnson, who is president of the California Association of Enterprise Zones and manages the Long Beach, California Enterprise Zone. As I said, we're going to shift gears. In the second half hour, we're going to find out all about composting. New tough law in San Francisco should be on the books in about 90 days. We'll find out all about it in the next half hour. Stay with us. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.